All right, sir. We are recording. If you will, please state your full name and title for the record, please.
Sure. Name is Dan Neenan, and I'm the director of the National Education Center for Ag Safety.
Well, sir, Farm Safety Week is coming up here for our harvest season as we move forward. I know there's a lot of information that you probably want to get out there. I'm just going to kind of let you jump in. And what are some of the topics that we need to consider as we move into that harvest season?
Well, as we take a look at National Farm Safety and Health Week, the theme for the week is safety counts, protecting what matters. And it really takes that overarching theme of what matters is the family and keeping the family safe on the farm. Now, what we've done is we've broken it down into the 5-day week. So Monday, we're focusing on rural roadway safety. Tuesday is health. Wednesday is Children's Day. Thursday is confined spaces in agriculture, grain bins, manure pits, and Friday is tractor safety day. So we will have a webinar each day focusing on that, and then off of our website, there's safety information and content on each one of those topics. And our website is www.necasag.org, so NECASAG.org. And you know, you take a look at it, the statistics right now have just come out for 2013, and there were 479 fatalities, and that averages out to be 22.2 deaths per 100,000 workers, which again made agriculture the most dangerous industry in the United States. And, you know, if we take a look at it, the tractor is the number one cause of injuries and fatalities, so we need to take a look there, but there's a lot of other places that folks can get in trouble too as well. And as we get into the fall harvest season, farmers are going to be working a lot of hours with that, and it's the time to bring up that safety message and you know, to remind folks to slow down, the motoring public, when you're on roads with farm equipment, and be aware of you know, that farmers will turn left into the field, and that you can't pass a piece of ag equipment in a no-passing zone. It's got to be a legal passing zone for you to be able to pass a piece of farm equipment on the roadway.
Well, Mr. Neenan, we live in a rural environment where all of this information is very vital to our listeners. We'll put a link on our website to your website. Of course, I know we can't cover a lot about each day, but let's touch a little bit on each day. Let's start with Monday and roadway safety. What do you have to say there?
Well, with roadway safety, we're going to be taking a look at the incidents that are happening. One of the key messages that we want to put out there for farmers is a lot of the newer equipment have the rollover protection structures and the enclosed cabs. That's great. It's much safer than the older tractors, but the important thing that you need to do to keep yourself safe on the roadway is to make sure that you're putting your seatbelt on in the cab of that tractor or combine, because if it gets hit, you're going to get thrown out of the seat and you're going to get injured, and that's why it's important to make sure that seat belt is on.
I think we think they're large vehicles and therefore we're protected, and that's just not always the case.
That's correct.
Okay, Tuesday, we're going to talk a little bit about health. What do you have to share with us there, sir?
I think the big takeaway from Tuesday is that as we get older and we're taking medications, some of those medications need to be timed when we take them on a daily basis. Other ones, it's important that we eat, like being a diabetic. A lot of times folks will get up and they'll take their medication in the morning and then they'll work right through lunch or work right through dinner, where it's critically important for them to be able to eat to keep their blood sugar the way that it's supposed to be, or if they're taking cardiac medicines, you know, that they're supposed to be taking them at a certain time. So to make sure that you're taking the time to take a break during the fall harvest season, get something to eat, make sure that you stay hydrated and that you're taking your medications at the right time.
Yeah, I have too many of those men in my family that just work right through that. So, okay, and Wednesday, I didn't note what we're talking about, so remind me if you will.
Yeah, Wednesday is Children's Day, and unfortunately, every year, about 100 children under the age of 18 are killed on the family farms. And if we take a look at that, if you'd ask somebody that works in a manufacturing facility, you know, how many three-year-olds do they let come in and, you know, tour the plant or play there, you know, they'll look at you like you're crazy. And, you know, the takeaway there is there's large pieces of equipment there on the farm, but that's where the kids live and that's where they're playing at. So we need to set up safe play areas for them, and we need to be aware that those children are around during the fall harvest season.
And Dan, how important is just simple education to that effort?
Well, I think two things. Education for the kids to let them know about the tractors and the kids and tractors don't mix and to be looking out for them. But then, you know, for the farmers and the hired workers is to have that realization that those kids are there and they're on the farm.
Absolutely. Okay, Thursday we're talking about confined spaces. Share with us what you can there, please.
Sure. Grain bins are considered confined spaces. So entering into a grain bin, we've got some things that we need to take a look at here. We need to make sure that the power is locked out and tagged out to the auger before anybody goes in. We need to do air quality sampling to make sure that there's sufficient oxygen content in the confined space. Everybody going in to the grain bin needs to be wearing a body harness and be tied off outside of the space. And then the rule that's probably most often broken here is entering into a confined space is a minimum of a two-person job. The person entering into the space, and then there needs to be a reliable attendant outside watching what's going on, staying in constant communication. And if there's a problem inside that confined space, their job is not to go in and try to perform rescue, but to stand back and call 911. So they don't become entrapped as well.
Very good. Okay, and then Friday we're going to talk about tractor safety a little bit. Share with us what you can.
Yeah, with tractor safety, there's a lot of different things to talk over. Rollovers, runovers, and PTO entanglements. So making sure that the PTO is shielded and that the master shield is on the tractor. We need to talk bypass starting. It doesn't cost a lot to get that starter fixed if you're having some difficulties, but if you bypass start the tractor from the ground and it's in gear, you're going to get rolled over and injured or killed with that. So we want to try to get away from bypass starting altogether with that. And then, of course, getting back, like we talked about with rural roadway safety, with the seat belts. It's critically important to wear those seat belts. One, as you're out on the roadway, but two, even if you're just going, you know, if you're the one operating and driving the tractor back and forth with a gravity wagon on it, to make sure that you're putting that seat belt on each and every time you get in.
Dan, we had someone within our listening area killed already this season in a PTO accident just about a week and a half ago. Someone that lived on their family farm for, you know, he was 33. He obviously probably knew the safety precautions. How often do you think they're just in a hurry and trying to get the work done? Do you think that's the situation?
I do. You know, if you take a look at it, farmers don't wake up in the morning and think to themselves, you know, today is a good day to get injured in a farming accident. A farmer wakes up and thinks, you know, I've got 100 things to do today, and if I'm lucky, I'm going to get 25 to 30 of them done. And then there's a weather event or there's a piece of equipment that breaks down. You know, and especially in the fall harvest season, if there's the threat of rain coming or a snowstorm coming, folks are going to work straight through. And so fatigue plays a part in that as well.
Just a lot of factors there. Dean, I know that you guys are offering some first aid farm kits. I will, again, put a link to our website on that, but I'd like for you to talk a little bit about those kits, if you will. Please tell our listeners the benefits of having them on hand.
Sure. We've taken a standard first aid kit, and we've modified it for farming injuries. So one of the first things in our farmer focus group that they talked about was if they go and they buy a first aid kit at the store, they put it in the tractor, the combine, the pickup truck, and within a week, the plastic case breaks and dumps all the contents all over. So ours comes in a Carhartt-type bag that's semi-waterproof. But on the inside of the kit, there's four times the eye wash solution in a standard kit because farmers will get sprayed with chemicals in the eye. There's a finger amputation kit in there, so a sterile bag and the capability of keeping that cool for transport to the hospital. There's an isothermic blanket in there. If you were to take a look at it, it looks like a big, huge piece of Reynolds wrap as far as that goes. But on a cold, overcast day, there's still UVA and UVB rays getting through, and that blanket will grab those and be able to keep somebody warm if they're trapped in a piece of farm equipment until the fire department can get there and do a rescue. Then we took out all of the small bandages and small scissors in there. We've left the large bandages in there. And we also put a trauma shears, like what's carried on the ambulance. So if we have to cut off a pair of boots or a pair of Carhartts, a pair of coveralls, we've got something that's capable of getting that cut off. So we've created these. They've been on the market probably about 5 to 6 years now, and we've sold over 15,000 of them. It's a good idea, you know, both for first aid kits where you can get them, and then also as we get into the fall year, fire extinguishers to make sure that, you know, fire extinguishers are available on the equipment and in the machine shop.
Absolutely. Things that we all hope our friends and family members don't need, but sure hope they have them if they do need them. So, Dan, I want to thank you. You've been such a great help. Lots of good information. Anything else that you would like to add, sir?
Yeah, there is. One thing that we're seeing a trend in, and I'm sure it's that way in your neck of the woods as well, is farmers renting land that's not contiguous to where their farm is at, maybe 3 miles down the road, 5 miles down the road. It's very important for them to write down on a piece of paper and copy it and put it in every vehicle that goes from farm to farm. So pickup trucks, tractors, combines that have, if you have a county that has the 911 signs, to have that on there or the physical address. Because as the 911 centers are closing in the small towns and going to one per county, you can't dial 911 and say you're at the old Joe Smith farm. People who've lived around that area for years and years know where that's at, but that dispatching center is not going to. So having that information as to where you're at can speed up the response time of the emergency responders if there's an incident.
And those minutes can mean so much. And as someone that sits and listens to a scanner day to day, and you listen and they're trying to find a person, it's just heartbreaking. So excellent information, Dan. Again, thank you so much for your time. We'll put those links up to your website and hopefully send some people your way as well.
That sounds good. Okay. I've got a favor to ask you.
Okay.
One of the things we're doing this year is as we're doing interviews, we're asking what your circulation is. We're just tracking what the reach of some of this is going to be. Do you have a ballpark?